This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is Afternoons on Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Afternoons with Helen Farmer podcast. Today, I met the youngest person in the GCC to reach the summit of Mount Kilimanjaro, and he's only 8 years old. We have Dr. Jana, who's decoding your dreams to see if they can predict what's going to happen in the future. When it comes to being an athlete or a sports person, your career is very short, but you have to have a lot of discipline, and it is quite emotional. So everyone needs a life coach, and we talked to one of those by the name of Masood Khalili. And Dr. Louisa Coelho from the Cat Vet is here to answer all your questions on our Pets and Vets segment.
Home or away?
No matter what age you are, everyone can make a small step towards a big goal. And my next guest is the perfect example. He's only 8 years old. His name is Ayan. And he's the youngest person in the GCC to summit Mount Kilimanjaro. And he is here with his parents in the studio. Hello, young man.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Right, you've been running around all over the studio and all over the radio station. When did you come back from Kilimanjaro?
On August 6th.
Okay, so if I had come back from climbing a mountain like Kilimanjaro, I would be not walking, I would be having massages every day. You are running around. First of all, what made you want to climb Kilimanjaro?
So basically, my mom and dad said, like, when they were hiking, they told me that I would come with them to climb Mount on Kilimanjaro when I'm 8 years old.
I see. So mom and dad, Sabir and Vani, tell me, are you guys both climbers yourself?
Yes, actually I did my first Kilimanjaro hike in 2019.
Oh.
And then 2020 we could not do anything because of lockdowns and COVID.
Yeah.
In 2021 we went to Elbrus in Russia.
Wow.
Where me and Vani, we went together.
Both of you?
Yeah. Yes.
So you've always been into this kind of thing?
Not really, but I followed my husband and I started enjoying it.
Okay, so when did you start training for this, Ayan?
About 5 years ago.
No. How old were you 5 years ago? You were three.
No, like, I started when I was four.
Vani, when did you start training?
For the hike, like 6 months now.
6 months.
Yeah.
So when I was eight, I just wanted a girl's world. I didn't want to climb a mountain. A girl's world is where you do the hair and makeup and things like that. So there's something, like, has he got a drive in him? Is it, he's got so much energy. I've been seeing him going around the studio. I'm assuming he gets it from you two, but you two seem so calm. Like, how do you handle him? Is he very hyper?
He's super active.
He is.
He's all over the house every day. Like, summer vacation has been like, oh, he's been busy. He's been working out, goes to swimming. He has his classes, yeah, but in between, he still has energy to just jump over.
So tell me, what were the hardest bits climbing Mount Kilimanjaro?
Like, normally, like, above the clouds, almost to Kilimanjaro, like, almost there, it's really cold if you go, like, in the morning. But if you go, like, in the afternoon, it'll be hot for you.
How many hours a day do you know you might have been walking up that mountain? Because there's set times, isn't there? You do a few hours a day.
Yeah, but, like in the first day, we only did, like 3 hours and...
Only?
3 hours and 12 minutes.
You're 8 years old, you've got little baby legs. 3 hours is a long time. Did you not get tired?
No.
You're so brave. You really are. Tell me about what the food you ate when you were walking up the mountain. Was it all dried food? Because there's no Mackie D's or anything burgers there, is there?
It wasn't. It's dried.
Was there ever a point, Mum or Dad, where he's like, I'm tired, can you pick me up?
Definitely there was a point where he was extremely tired and he mentioned that, you know, I've never been so tired in my life because of the hike, especially on the summit night because it was extremely cold and obviously it's a 10-hour mountain climbing at a steep angle. So that day he definitely was. And then we sat down, we took a lot of breaks. I mean, that's the reason we did not have anybody else in our group. It was only us climbing, so we can follow his pace. And there's nobody else to basically pressure.
And how many days did it take you?
Eight days.
That's a lot. I'm still blown away by an eight-year-old doing this. So you're the youngest in the GCC?
Yes.
That is an accomplishment. What is next for you? I mean, I can see that. I know you do something else. I know you are helping clean the beaches and saving turtles. Is that right?
Yeah.
Tell me about that. How did you get into that?
So, like 5 months ago, I went on a school trip to Expo 2020. And then I found out that turtles have 50 amount of plastic in their bodies. Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel happy about it. So what I decided to do beach cleaning. So
you did that for your eighth birthday, is that right?
Yeah.
What do you find on the beaches when you're cleaning?
Like metal cans, like each of drinks, like the ones that you already know. Mm. And then there's like a bunch of plastic bottles and lids, and there's plastic bags and all things.
So you're picking up everybody's trash, trying to save the beaches, keep them clean, and the turtles. Have you been around the turtles when they've been hatched or gone into the ocean?
No.
Okay. You know where you need to tell Mom and Dad to take you next? Because you did Mount Kilimanjaro, you need to go to the Maldives because they do rescue turtles. They rescue turtles there, and I swam with one, and you can see them up close. That's where you need to go next for your trip. And it's so much more relaxing than Kilimanjaro.
Okay.
I'm telling you. So how proud are you of him? I mean, has he told you what else he wants to do? Other things, like is he going to jump out of a plane next?
Yeah. We are very proud of him. And yes, he wants to jump out. He wanted to skydive. When Sabu did the skydive a year ago, he had cried so much that he wants to go and do it again. Mm. But, he's not allowed to till he's 15 or 16. So yeah. Once probably after that.
What do you think you want to be when you grow up? I mean, I can't even imagine what you're going to do by the time you're 10 if you've done this by the time you're 8. Do you know?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
You probably do another 10 mountains, open 5 companies. Who knows what he'll do? What about your other kids? Do you have other kids?
No, he's alone.
Oh, you're the only sibling. So Mom and Dad have to put all their energy into you. So how often do you go for the clean the beaches?
So basically, we go to the beach the first one we went was in La Mer. Mm-hmm. And then normally we saw a bunch of trash. And then We started it with one, and then we went 3 laps.
So do you, every time you have anything in your hand, you always put everything in a bin? You make sure you don't throw anything on the floor?
I don't throw them. I throw them in a plastic bag where you can keep all the garbage.
Yes.
And then we keep it in the garbage.
And what would you like to say to anybody listening who doesn't throw their trash in the bin? My sister used to shout at a lot of people on the beaches when she used to see them leave crisp packets and everything. What would you like to say to everybody?
I mean, I would like to say thank you, the ones that are doing, cleaning in trash. Like the ones who are
helping. Do you enjoy it?
Yeah.
And you feel like you're saving the planet?
Yeah.
That's such a good idea. So listen, I have to ask you, Mom and Dad, does he clean his room the way he cleans the beach?
He does his bed in the morning, first thing. He cleans. He's been doing that since at least six. Yeah, since he's six, he cleans his own bed. Makes his own bed in the morning.
Yeah, that's better than me.
But yes, he tries keeping his stuff clean. Oh. Yeah.
Well, we're really, really proud of you. You're such a brave, courageous kid. And I can't even imagine what's coming for your future, but I know that you're going to be very successful. So thank you for coming on the show.
Home or away.
Have you ever wanted to know what's waiting for you in the future? I'm sure all of us do. Well, apparently your dreams have many clues that can help you. So today we're going to decode your dreams and see what messages lie ahead. To help me do that is our dream doctor herself, Dr. Jana Sharaf Khalifa from the House of Wisdom. She's joining us from Bulgaria. How are you doing, Dr. Jana?
very good, and I'm very happy because it's 29 degrees, so I'm not burning in some heat. So yes, I'm very happy.
Be careful what you say. It was 40 degrees 2 weeks ago in Europe, and this week in England it's going up to 38. So you never know what might happen in Bulgaria.
Yes, and by the way, you know when the heat was going on in the UK, I was there. Oh my God, you won't believe the trains, the buses. It's crazy. So, I mean, it's just, you know, they should come to the Middle East and learn from Dubai how they do it.
So here it is. When it rains here, everyone goes crazy. When it's overly hot in England, everyone goes crazy because we're not used to, you know, the different heats. So it's just the temperatures. It's very confusing. We need more AC there. And then who knows, you might need more heating here eventually one day. You never know. So let's talk about dreams. We're going to decode them. We've also had people sending in some dreams. Maybe we can decode them. If you want to ask Dr. Jana about your dreams as well, just text us on 4001. Now, I want to ask a question. Let's say if I was going to sleep tonight. Is there something I can do where I speak to my subconscious and say, right, tonight when I sleep in my dream, I want the answers to come to me through visuals or numbers or, you know, somebody's voice and tell me, will I get that job next week? Or will I be going on holiday? Or will I meet that person? Can we do something like that before we go to sleep?
Absolutely.
Oh, great.
Actually, absolutely. Yes. And the simpler the question, the more clear the question, the clearer the answer. The answer's clarity and the answer's strength depends purely on how strong and how clear your answer is. So if you say, will I get the job next week? Mm. Right? And as long as you have an intention of the job you want, then yes, you will dream a clear answer. You might even wake up with the feeling of certainty or that feeling of happiness. And that means you will get the job. If you wake up and you feel, you know, scared or something, it means that you probably are unlikely to get the job.
Oh, wow.
The clearer the question, the clearer the answer. Most of us go on a limb asking questions that don't make sense, right? Things like, oh, does he love me? And will he marry me? And then will I go? And those are too many questions for one night. You know, break it down. Break it down. Take
questions.
It easy. Break it down. You know, ask one clear question. And the technique is very simple. It's just literally close your eyes, take two or three deep breaths in, and just say, okay, please show me, guide me, my higher self, my subconscious. Do I or will I get that job? Is this person right for me? Show me a vision of what my life would look like if I married this person or if I entered a business partnership with this person. What would my life be like? And you would see it clearly in a dream or you would feel it the next morning.
I remember last time that you were on, I told you there was a month, a couple of years ago, a whole month where every dream I had, the next day it came true and I had it verified. And it got to the point where it was actually quite scary. Now, I know you are very intuitive. Are you somebody who, when you wake up, you write your dreams down or to look at them later or analyze them? Or do you know when you wake up, okay, this dream was meant to tell me this?
So at the beginning of my dream journey, and I started quite young, I started maybe I was 15 or 16. So I used to journal my dreams, absolutely, because I felt that it was important for me to go back. And every single one of those dreams eventually happened. One of the things that I learned is that there is something in dreams that is numbers. And the numbers, so for example, you see three shoes or two cars or you see one cat. And usually the numbers, if there's a quantity of something, that represents how long it's going to take for the dream to happen. That's one thing that people decipher very well.
Explain that to me again.
Yeah,
what do you mean? Let's say I see, are you saying if I see three cats in reality? Or three cats in my dream?
If you see three cats in your dream, what people usually do is decipher the cats. They forget the number three, that they saw three cats. It means that this dream will happen in 3 weeks or 3 months or not more than 3 months, right?
The wish that you want will happen in 3 days, 3 weeks or three months.
Exactly. Wow. Yes. Everything comes to, if you see something that has to do with numbers, quantity. That's how long it will take for what you asked for to happen.
And you know,
and some, yeah.
You know, I did actually, I had a dream where I was given four or five numbers. I was given them in this dream. And I remember waking up and I remembered four of them and I didn't remember the fifth one. And then I just let it go. I was like, I don't know what that number was for.
Well, that's, but whatever happened in the dream would have taken 4 or 5 months to have happened or manifest.
Okay. I have no idea. There's so much going on in my dreams. We're also getting some texts in as well. People want to decode their dreams. They want you to analyze them. And what other signs can we see in dreams that may predict something that is about to happen?
So the three things that predict, that is showing that this is a future dream, something that's meant to happen,
yeah,
is the numbers. So it shows you the quantity of something.
Yeah.
The second thing is that it's clear, right? It's not so much information. So it's a clear scene. Even though the scene might not relate directly to what's going to happen, but it's a clear scene, meaning that it's, I went to the restaurant and the food I ordered was good. It means that you're going to probably delve into a journey to do something. And for example, let's say you got a job. The job is going to pay well, right? That is what this means, because you received your food. The dream is clear. It's a one scene. It's a one event happening. And the third sign is you feel a tinge of excitement. It's nothing that you have experienced before, meaning that what you're watching is something that's not from your daily life. This is a sign that it is something that is going to happen in the future.
Okay, now I assume this is going to happen in Zhou Xing's future. He's just texted me and said, I've had three dreams about dirty dishes and cleaning them. What does that mean? Now, I'm not a dream expert, but I think you've got some dirty dishes in the sink that need cleaning. What do you say, Dr. Jana?
Probably, but what it means, in this case, if you have dishes in your sink, it means that in your life currently, there are things that need to be clarified. So in the future, you're going to be forced to clear or clean out your accounts. And that's not a negative thing. Clean out your accounts, clean out your friendships, your relationships, because everything that relates to food and cutlery, that's related to money, to work, to network, to connections, to PR. So all of those things that will need somehow categorization or cleaning out or something that will happen in the very near future. And because it's something that we should do daily, which is cleaning our dishes, it is something that's likely to happen within the next couple of days or a couple of weeks, not months. I wouldn't go for months.
Oh, interesting. Okay, this is quite interesting. I wonder if it means that it will come true. Simone said, last night I had a dream that I was 3 months pregnant and the father was a famous actor who works in Africa. He's in the Nigerian movies. Now, I haven't even thought of this actor for like years, so I'm not sure why you popped into my dream, but does it mean that I may one day actually meet him?
I hope you meet him. The aspect that you are 3 months pregnant, that's an indication that this is going to take 3 months to manifest. You see, it's again the numbers.
Yes.
And it's already telling you how long it's going to take to manifest.
But hang on a minute, to manifest, yes, what though? Like, is it something that this late Simone might want in her life? Or is it manifesting meeting this actor?
No, so it's not meeting the actor. It's something that she's wanted, or something that she likes a lot will happen within the next 3 months. Because she likes the actor. She's obviously maybe liked him in the past, or there's something that relates to this. So whatever is going to happen, this good news or good meeting or meeting someone of value, maybe it's a soulmate, maybe it's a business partner, maybe it's someone who's going to inspire her, teach her, is going to happen within the next 3 months.
Simone, you're going to meet the man of your dreams in 3 months. You lucky girl. All right. Mandy says, I was a bully in my dream. I was bossy and even hurting some of my classmates. But in real life, I'm so gentle and I'm so friendly. So it was completely opposite in my dream. Is this like her inner ego wanting to come out?
Passive aggressive. All right. So yes, so let's make that funny. That's not a dream that is predicting the future, right?
Yeah.
This is something that's a message dream. So to be practical and realistic, right? So this is something that wants to create balance. So she's probably someone who's very kind and very giving. And, you know, maybe people take her for granted. So the other side of her, the side that is seeking balance, that is seeking justice, that is seeking equilibrium, is coming out by saying, okay, I want to be a bully and I don't want to listen to people and I want to assert myself. So in this dream, this is a message dream, or what I call a message dream, something that asks you to rise up in order to amend, heal, or live a better life.
Okay.
And what it's asking you to do is create a balance between the too much kindness and too little kindness.
Okay, and just we're running out of time. Just one last quick question. The reason I'm asking you this is because it does link to the future in some way. And Sarah says, I dreamt I was at a rooftop party and a spaceship appeared. The doors opened. Some people started walking into it and I refused. I was scared. Does that have something to do with the future when you think of spaceships and what's ahead?
So, yes, these are opportunities that she doesn't get into, doesn't involve herself in. It's a message dream. It's not predicting the future, but it's saying things about her character. She doesn't embrace the future or change very easily.
Wow.
So this dream is inviting her to embrace the change, to go forward, to just accept things as they come.
Okay. Dr. Jana, thank you so much for joining me. We'll get you on again very shortly and have a great day in Bulgaria.
Home or away.
Now, being in the world of sports not only entails physical strength, but also mental toughness. It's a constant competition, discipline, sacrifices, injuries, losing, winning. And eventually, you have to know when it's time to say goodbye. And if you looked at the news yesterday, Serena Williams announced her retirement. And she has said retirement is no fairy tale. She's calling it heartbreaking because her heart still is in the game. But, you know, she has to give time to her daughter. She wants to have more children. So it's very hard for a lot of people. And I can't even imagine leaving a whole life behind and starting a brand new chapter. So physically and emotionally, it's draining, which is why so many of them have coaches to help their mindset and accelerate the progress. One of those coaches is here with me in the studio today. Welcome to the show, Masood Khalili. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. Thank you so much.
So you're a banker and you recently became a life coach specifically for people in the sports field. Why did you want to do that? Have you been athletic yourself?
Yes, I've never been into a professional athletic before this, but I've been into sport a lot. One of the things that made me specialized in athletic coaching and athlete coaching specifically is I have seen people around me going through so much of challenges. Previously, I used to do just a general life coaching. So it's a life coaching for everyone.
Yeah, man, woman, whatever. Yeah,
whatever it is. And generally, that's the concept of life coaching is I don't focus on the topic. I focus on the person. But then throughout the past 5 years that I was practicing life coaching, people always ask me, so what is your specialization? I said, no specialization, I'm life coach. And it was very difficult for people to understand the concept of a life coach.
You know, but I think it is, because if you see so many people say I'm a life coach, what does that actually mean? What is it that you focus on? Because I used to say, if I want someone to teach me about life, I would go to somebody who's over 80, a grandparent. They've lived life, you know, you can't train about life. So I think it's right you found a focus, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, the concept is a little bit different. What we do, for example, I'm focusing on sport right now, but I cannot neglect the fact that I have a full human being in front of me, right? Who has a family, who has another life, not only the athletic career. He has his own beliefs that he built throughout his experiences in life. So we tackle all that when we coach the person. We don't focus on one specific topic. And so often we open the discussion with a subject and we end up with completely different action plan that is touching on completely different topic. But end of the day, it will serve the purpose.
So are you a sports person yourself? Do you play sports or have you used to do it quite competitively in the past?
I use it as a hobby. The only competitive races I'd say was Spartan races, where I participated in more than, I think, 12 or 13 race.
Mm.
These are obstacle races.
Yeah. So you can connect a little bit when these sports people come, because it is still competitive and you have to stay focused. So what are some of the major challenges sports people, especially your clients, have to deal with compared to the rest of us who just do normal day-to-day jobs?
First of all, it requires a lot of commitment to be an athlete.
I know.
It requires a lot of time. You have to sacrifice a lot of things to be an athlete. You have to sleep early. You have to be on your diet. You have to sacrifice holidays, vacations. When people are celebrating, you are, for example, if you play for a team, you are with your team in a competition.
Do you know how I know they dedicate all this time? Because I watch those shows in America, you know, the wives of the footballers. So wives of Miami. And I'm like, they never see their partners because they're always training.
Yes. And they have social challenges with their partners. I have been with athletes who couldn't find a partner who understand them.
I don't even know how they make some marriages last, because they're always all over the place and training. It's very hard to even be married to one, I can imagine.
Yes. The idea is to find the right balance.
Mm.
You need to find someone who understand that you have this lifestyle and ready to give it all in.
But if you think about any athlete, I mean, look at Serena Williams, you know, I think she's 40, 41, and she's, you know, she's walking away now. And she's very fortunate because she's had an amazing career for much longer than most tennis players. You look at footballers, you know, they have to retire eventually. They know, let's say if they start their sport at 16, 17 and it lasts till 35 or something, that's when they have to put everything into it, because that's when they make the money. After that, they really don't know what's going to happen, right? So everything around them is going to struggle. And that is the age where you do want to build a family, or you don't want to, you know, have a backup plan B and everything like that. So have you had clients where everything has been about sports or their job, and when they've had to walk away, they haven't handled it well?
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that I work on with my clients is their financial balance. How do they balance their financials? Because as long as they're playing, there's a lot of cash coming in, right?
Yes.
And the moment they stop playing, then there's no cash and there's no source of income as well. So one of the things that we work on is building a cash flow for themselves, building something for future. I have, and most of the professional athletes, they get paid quite well.
Mm.
To use that money into something...
investing.
Investing it into something that will give them back for the rest of their lives. This is something that we focus on. Because we've seen a lot of players, a lot of professionals who collapsed immediately a year after their retirement.
You know, also, I know a lot of friends who, like, one of my friends was going to go and play professionally for Birmingham City, where I'm from. He hurt his knee and literally his life changed at the age of 22. I mean, how do they cope with that? Like, how do you talk an athlete through that if they're going through a recovery? There might be a chance where they may never be able to go back.
I'm launching a new program, and it's all about ACL injury. ACL is one of the major injuries on the knee. And
yes,
literally it might stop you from playing anything for the next 6 to 9 months. And to cope up with that long stop, and you know that you might not even come back the same as before. It requires a lot of mental work. It requires a lot of patience, a lot of extra dedication, a lot of mental strength, because This period can either make it or break it.
I know.
And I've seen a lot of examples of people who had an injury and couldn't come back. Their career ended.
Wow.
Just there.
They must. I mean, it must be quite a depressive state to be in when your career just ends abruptly.
Yes, and most probably it's. I mean, medicine is very advanced today. You can recover 100%. You can recover physically. It's very much possible to recover and come back as much as the same as before. But mentally, are they prepared?
Yeah.
And this is something that I'm very passionate about, you know, seeing people coming back after an injury even stronger than before is something that I'm really passionate about, because I've seen people who just lost it.
It's all to do with the mind.
Yes.
It's complete power in your mind. You know, Muhammad Ali would talk about it all the time. You know, it's what you're thinking. You also have a podcast called Mind Muscles Podcast. What kind of discussions do you have on that?
I'm starting season one very soon. And we focus on underdogs of lives. So these are people who are not being covered by media much.
Yeah.
And especially in sports. So, for example, we talk about our people of determination in Paralympics, for example. We talk about women in
football.
In football.
Yeah, like
yes.
They won last week.
Yes, I have three episodes with women who are in physical sports, that mainly male-dominant sports.
Yeah.
Football, powerlifting, and rugby.
And that's bizarre, because I had football on last week and I also had powerlifting, a young lady as well, called Gul. So yeah, this is great. They're all coming up strong. And I know sports is massive here as well. Do you ever get any kids coming to you, or people in very early on in their career?
Not yet. I haven't got anyone yet. But I think that could be a place where we have to start negotiating with the clubs.
Yes.
Because
the whole mind starts at that age, isn't
exactly.
it? Discipline.
Yeah. I was recording one of my episodes with a rugby player. She mentioned that at the age of 16, 17, that's the age that they move from a junior team to the senior team, right? And that was the toughest time for her mentally. Because if they lose, she's still a kid and she doesn't know how to deal with failure, how to deal with losing. And it required a lot of mental strength to actually came across that. And she told me, my dream is to see someone who look after these kids. Because it's a crucial time of the career. It can build your mindset.
And we had one of the female footballers on. She was 14 years old from the Alliance group. And she said that when she puts some of her skills on social media, you know, with the ball, flipping it, whatever, she'll get boys texting her going, "You're a girl, you can't do this." And she said it really hurt, you know what I mean? She was mentally having to strengthen her mind to say, there are people out there who think we're not good enough because we're girls. And she had to build that mental stamina too. So yeah, you're right. That age is very tender. We do need to take care of them. If people want to follow you and your podcast, where can we find you online?
It's throughout my Instagram, Masoud Khalili.
And is it Mr. Khalili? Is that the Instagram?
No, Masoud Khalili.
MasoudKhalili. Khalili.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on.
You're listening to Pets and Vets on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
With ProPlan, where the number one ingredient is always high quality salmon, lamb, turkey and chicken.
So this is the chance where you get to ask any question you want to our cat vet, Dr. Louisa Coelho. How are you doing, Dr. Louisa?
I am fine, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm very good. You know, is the cat vet still the UAE's feline only clinic?
As far as I understand, yes, we are.
So I've always been a dog person, right, growing up. I'm assuming you are, or you've had to become, a cat person.
That's not necessarily true, actually. I do love dogs, but once you convert to working with just cats, I have to say that it's very hard for you to then go back.
What's been coming into the clinic recently?
So some cats that we've actually seen recently have suffered heat stroke, which is relevant given that we're in the middle of August and temperatures are rising. So that's something that we should
definitely be raising awareness for. And I guess that one of the most common things that we see anyway is dental disease in about 85% of our cases. And we do regular dental procedures as well. But alongside routine neutering and castration, we do work with a lot of stray colonies and we do quite a lot of TNR. And obviously this is in addition to the rest of the caseload, which is very varied without going into like very specific details.
Well, yeah. we're going to break it down a few of these issues. You were talking about the cats and the heats, and I had this conversation last week with Dr. Sara, another vet, and I said, I see a lot of cats that sit on cars. Now, these cars are hot because they've been out in the sun. So I'm assuming, do the cats just like the heat and can they cope?
Yeah,
but you said they can't self-regulate. Tell me about that.
So yeah, they do love the heat, but I feel that, especially here in the desert country, I don't think that they're necessarily aware of where they should stop. And obviously, a lot of these cats that you probably see are strays, so the possibility of them seeking shelter for the extreme heat is actually not that great. Mm. So yes, we do see cats that, as a consequence of being in the sun for a long period of time, or maybe shut outside inadvertently, or maybe just elderly cats who are, you know, very often seek the heat for soothing their joints or feeling a little bit more comfortable. They might be a little bit confused and not necessarily very good at then seeking shelter or fresher temperatures to recover from that. So it's different to dogs, where you usually see heat stroke as a consequence of exercise during hours of extreme heat, but it still happens and it still has some nefarious consequences as well. So the recommendation is, obviously, during these months, if the cats are owned, please keep them inside, keep them where it's cool, with the aircon on, keep fresh water available at all times. You can also add some sort of ice cubes onto the water bowls for them. Try to stimulate them to ingest as much water as possible, but please do not let them out in the hours of extreme heat, because do not rely on them to understand.
So let's say someone's let the cat out on the balcony, right? How long should they keep them out there before they say, look, it's time to get back in?
In this heat?
Maybe we're talking about 6-7 o'clock at night, let's say.
Okay, so that's fine because they're actually not exposed to the glaring sun. So that's okay. But I would say it's pretty much, see how you feel. Go outside and please tell me how long you're able to cope with staying.
Six minutes after I get.
Yeah, exactly. Under the glaring sun before you start feeling massively uncomfortable. So okay. I would say that would be 5 to 6 minutes and then you have to come straight back in.
And that's me with my hat on and suntan lotion. The cats don't have that. They just got the fur.
So early morning and dusk, obviously, it's much less dangerous. But during the other hours of the day, which is pretty much all day here, please keep them sheltered and keep them in the cool.
Okay. Because I always see a cat across my balcony and he's always there just standing looking in the morning and there's shade on him. But I'm like, is he okay? But he seems to be fine. Yeah.
It's early hours of the morning, shade. That sounds like a feasible thing to do.
Okay. So a couple of things have come up, which I've heard are quite prevalent here. And I haven't heard of it, obviously, because I'm not a vet. And it's called FIV in felines. What exactly is that?
So this is the basically the short name of the feline immunodeficiency virus, which is of the same genus as the human immunodeficiency virus. It is a cat-specific virus, so it does not infect humans. But in terms of what type of symptoms or what type of disease it causes, it's quite similar. So it basically attacks the cat's immune system. It infects the white blood cells. And by infecting them, it tends to destroy them or weaken them and compromises the function of the immune system. So it's quite prevalent here in Dubai because we have quite a lot of stray cats. This is actually transmitted mainly by fighting, so by biting, bite wounds. So it's very common in entire male cats, which fight with each other to actively defend their territory. Mm-hmm. So you see why this is so spread out here in the cat population. Females get it too, less frequently, but they do. And it doesn't really cause any specific clinical signs. Very often we find out that these cats have it because we're treating them from something else, usually persistent infections, wounds, abscesses, respiratory issues that don't seem to go away or that they're slightly harder to treat. And then by testing them for these underlying diseases, we find out that they're actually their status is positive.
So how fatal is it for a cat if they have FIV?
So it really depends on what type of lifestyle this cat has. They tend to have, if they're sheltered, you know, if they're well looked after and they're protected, they tend to have a completely normal lifespan. We just have to obviously take into consideration that these cats are more susceptible to secondary infections. Mm. And obviously, if they're indoors, they will have a high likelihood of living a prolonged and healthy life. But if they're outdoors, their survival is very much compromised because they will succumb to an infection very easily. They also have, and it's important to actually mention, that these cats also have an increased likelihood of developing cancer. So that might be a limiting factor. But recent studies have shown that most of these cats actually enjoy good quality of life as long as we keep on top of any possible infections that might come up, give them a high quality, good quality diet, complete diet, keep the vaccinations and the dewormings up to date. For example, one of the things that is important to mention, because it's quite fashionable now, if you have an FIV-positive cat, you probably should stay away from feeding him raw food, because the potential for bacterial contamination is a reality. And while a normal cat may be able to cope with that very easily, an FIV-positive cat is very susceptible to developing a secondary infection, which might be fatal. So other than that, no, they do tend to enjoy perfectly normal lives if they're, you know, well looked after.
That's great.
It's not a death sentence.
So we've had a text from Tom. My cat Coco gets sick every few days. He does like to eat geckos, but not sure if that's the reason. I'm kind of guessing it is.
No, that's actually a very relevant question. A lot of people assume that vomiting in cats, or frequent vomiting, is actually a normal thing. Or they assume that vomiting hairballs is also a pretty common and normal thing for cats to do. It's never normal. If your cat's vomiting every 2 days, no matter how many geckos he's currently eating.
Can they eat geckos?
Well, they're predators, so they will hunt, yes, small mammals, small birds.
And that's okay,
insects,
if they eat them.
Reptiles. As far as I know, these geckos that we have here are not poisonous, so it should be fine. I would say take your cat to the vet to investigate this further, because a lot of things can be underlying. But frequent vomiting, especially if it's happening every couple of days, is definitely not a normal thing. That's too frequent.
Okay, Tom, take Coco to the vet. Let's talk about periodontal disease or gum disease in cats. I mean, is that on the rise, or are they brushing their teeth every day?
They should. It's actually the gold standard way to prevent, such as in humans, periodontal disease from developing is actually brushing your cat's teeth.
Are you serious?
I am, yeah. So a lot of people are surprised when I say this in the consult room.
I don't remember brushing my dog's teeth every day. I just gave him the treats and he used to clean his teeth.
So some of these are actually, they're useful because they have an abrasive action that will mechanically remove some of the plaque, but it's not as effective as actually brushing their teeth. And this is actually something that you can train your cat to do, especially if you've got him from a very young age. They can be trained to accept this. Most toothpastes are specifically formulated for cats. They are flavored, so they tend to see it as a treat. So actually, it is feasible, and you've got some nice resources online that actually teach you how to do this.
How often are you supposed to do it?
Daily, if you can.
What?
But very frequently with cats, I would say whenever they let you.
So what about the cats outside on the streets? How do they clean the teeth if they're not having
They don't, which is why we see such high prevalence with stray cats of dental disease as well. Also because this is quite closely tied in with some infectious diseases. Some viral diseases will have a role to play in the development of dental disease. Typically, if you would see a wild cat, theoretically, if this cat is hunting, obviously, the capture of prey and consuming of the prey will have some abrasive action on his teeth and help clean it in the natural way, so to speak. But these cats, we all know, are fed commercial cat food. Yeah. So they suffer from the same issues, quite the same as house cats. And very frequently, because we are involved in TNR, we will see these cats for routine neutering and castration, and they will have dental disease concurrently too, which is something that we tend to address as well.
So I'm trying to imagine this. A friend of mine, he found a cat outside on the street and has been looking after it, and it's his now. But she has an attitude. Like, she won't even let him stroke her. So how on earth could somebody like that with... Because cats have their own personalities. If they don't want to open their mouth to brush their teeth, they're not going to. So it must be difficult.
Common. Yeah. So, yeah, of course, this is a cat that was adopted from the streets. We possibly don't really know how well socialized this cat was. It's most likely never going to let you get anywhere near his teeth. So for that purpose, we have special treats, like you very well mentioned, more commonly in dogs, but also special foods that are designed to help address dental disease in cats. And this is basically just particularly shaped kibble that has an erosive action over the teeth and helps it keeps it clean. But in addition to that, they should be checked at least twice yearly. Their dental health should be assessed as well. And whenever necessary, they should be brought in for regular dental scaling and polishing and possible extractions if we find any dental pathology. So they do need to go to the dentist regularly as well, such as people.
I had no idea. Okay, we've had a text from Maha. She says, I have a rescue cat. I've had him for about a year. And sometimes he gets vicious when he doesn't want something done to him, such as me trying to hug him or cut his nails, adjusting his collar, even picking him up sometimes. Other times, he's better behaved. But he still, which is not good, makes me bleed several times a week because he's obviously trying to scratch her.
Yep.
We got him to replace an emotional support cat who passed away, but he's just not fitting into the role. Any advice?
Well, that's a tough one because most cats will like low intensity and high frequency contact rather than high intensity contact. And by high intensity contact, I mean holding, hugging, you know, really restraining them. It depends on the specific cat's personality. And this is tied in very closely with the experiences that they have or the level of socialization that they had during the first 2 to 7 weeks of life. So if this was not a cat that was picked up, handled, manhandled very frequently or very regularly so as to learn to associate this with a positive experience, he's likely not ever going to be a cat that will tolerate this going forward. So my advice is basically just to read the behavioral cues. Very often people who live with cats and are assaulted by cats on a regular basis,
they kind of learn
to read the warning signs. If he doesn't want you to pick him up, please don't. The more you try to, it's not ignore, but the more you leave these cats alone, the cats that have this specific personality, the more they will seek you out. Cats have to like to have choice and control over every situation. So any interaction that you have with him should be his own initiative. And you will see that the frequency of the physical assaults will probably reduce significantly. And as for clipping the nails, I am a vet and I could never clip my cat's nails to save my life. I usually had to wait until he was asleep and I kind of managed a mean of 2 nails per week, possibly, before he tried to kill me.
This is why I'm a dog person, because I like to hug. And if my cat didn't like to hug me, I would have an issue with that. I don't like it when I have to wait for when the cat is in the mood to hug.
Yeah, a lot of cats will not be like this. A lot of cats will, you know, basically not care if you want to hug them or stroke them or do whatever. But it really has to do with the individual cat's personality. It's like people. Some people are just not big huggers. And some cats, more often than not, aren't either. So this guy is clearly giving you overt signs that he is not enjoying the interaction. And so any interaction that you have with your cat should always be predictable, positive, and something that makes him retain his sense of control over the situation. The more you're able to do this, the more he will seek you out. These cats, very often, if you leave them alone, they will come to you.
Just like men.
This is Pets and Vets on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
With ProPlan.
So Priya has sent a message for you, Dr. Louisa. She says, my kitten won't eat unless I'm in the room. And then she sleeps all day while I'm at work and she doesn't want to play. And she's only a kitten.
Wow, that's not a normal behavior for a kitten at all.
Unless she's missing her mommy.
How long have you had her would be the probable first question I would ask, because that may well be behavioral and may well be related to the fact that she's either missing her mom or litter mates. But it can also be a sign of disease if she spends most of her time being lethargic, especially if she's not eating that well and not wanting to play. That's a really real warning sign for a kitten. Again, depends on how well socialized they are, how comfortable they are in your presence. They will not display play-like behavior unless they're really, really feeling confident. So a multitude of things may be going on, but I would recommend probably investigating that further.
Okay. Jessica says, my female cat Mittens is 2 years old. I just got her fixed at the beginning of June. She's always been a very petite cat, but gradually has started to gain quite a bit of weight since she's been fixed. Now, I know cats gain weight, but I'm just not sure if I'm overreacting. I feed her Purina Pro Plan wet food and hard food. She also acts like she's starving and is meowing more for more food. And I really just don't understand why.
This is a super common concern, actually. I don't think you're overreacting at all. It is true that once they are neutered, the cat's metabolic rate tends to slow down. So we do have to be mindful of what we're feeding them and how much we are feeding them. They should be ideally fed a complete imbalanced diet for neutered cats that already takes that caloric content into account. But they should also be fed a specific amount according to their ideal body weight. And we should promote exercise and play as much as possible. So the first step is usually speaking to your veterinarian or even just consulting the back of the package. They very frequently have the amounts that you should be feeding per day, depending on your cat's weight. And you should stick to that. You should and you can and you should feed them several meals. And you can make it actually a lot more fun. Most cats enjoy, particularly if they're really food motivated and they keep meowing at you. By the way, she's emotionally manipulating you. So cats don't meow when they're hungry. She just learned to meow and she basically figured out that you're feeding her after she meows. So this is a learned behavior. She will meow because she wants food.
You see, that's it. Cats yeah. can be very manipulative. Dogs are not usually
This is
like
exactly
that.
What she's doing. She's not hungry. She just learned that whenever she does it, you reward her. So why wouldn't she do it again? That's just, it's logical. Humans, why are you so not intelligent compared to cats? I mean, you know, she's like, this woman, I meow at her, she just feeds me. Why would I stop meowing? I'm going to keep doing it. I'm not hungry, but I'm bored. So check online. There are some amazing resources. If you just Google cat puzzle feeders, for example, you will basically go into a black hole of a multitude of things that you can do to make feeding times fun. And more importantly, to keep your cat mentally stimulated and engaged, stimulate her predatory behavior, and hopefully promote her being a little bit more satiated every time she eats. If she has to work for her food, as if she would if she was in the wild, she's most likely going to feel a lot more fulfilled than if she's just sitting next to the bowl and eating out of it because she has nothing better to do. Mm. So,
okay, yeah. Great. Sammy says, my cat has been diagnosed with pseudomonas in her nose and sinus. Have I said that wrong?
Pseudomonas.
Yeah. And this has been going on for a month. She's on an antibiotic. How contagious is this to me?
So it's not really contagious to you. Upper respiratory tract disease in cats is very frequent, very common here as well in Dubai. Most commonly starts with a viral infection. Very often you then have secondary bacterial infection, which is probably what she's getting treated for. This is not contagious to humans. Most of these viruses are feline specific. And this Pseudomonas likely reflects basically the normal flora that lives inside the nose. It's not really something that could harm you or have any pathogenic potential for humans.
Okay, that's good. Melanie says, my two-year-old cat has a sore with what appears to be a scab peeling off her lower lip. The area appears swollen and painful. Do you know what this could be?
A lot of things, to be honest. It really depends on what the origin of that is. It could be traumatic, a wound that she sustained by scraping against something, fighting with another cat. Very commonly, cats can also have an immune-mediated condition called eosinophilic granuloma. So very frequently manifests exactly as you described. So that's also a potential cause. But without examining the cat, visually assessing what's going on, and potentially running some additional diagnostic tests, I'm afraid I would not be able to know for sure. But it does sound like she needs to be seen. But again, traumatic, allergic, immune-mediated, all of these things can be contributing to the issue.
Yeah, it is difficult because even though we love your text, obviously as a vet, you want to see it before you can
You have to see it.
Yeah. Junaid said, if I'm going away for 6 nights, should I leave my 6-year-old cat alone in the house with a friend coming in daily to check on him or bring him to my friend's house to stay? What is the best option? Or are they okay by themselves?
They are actually perfectly fine by themselves. Remember that early on I said that they like to have a sense of control and predictability. This is very important for the cat. And in these circumstances, actually, they're better off being left in their own environment. If you have someone that comes in and looks after them, even better. So yes, whenever possible, as opposed to sending them to a boarding catchery, which is going to be unfamiliar in terms of smells, movement, people, I would recommend leaving them at home whenever possible. Someone to mind them once daily, unless they have obviously a specific health condition that needs more surveillance than that, is perfectly enough. And they do just fine.
Okay.
It's better than moving them to another house that they're completely unfamiliar with. If your other friend has pets, that's even worse. Your cat's going to completely panic and not know what's going on. And it will take her actually much longer than 6 days to adjust. So by the time you come back, she's only just feeling settled. And then you just move her again and everything changes and she doesn't know.
A cat's not very good at adapting to new situations.
Cats just don't like change in general. They just don't like it.
Oh my goodness.
They like predictable things that they can control.
Wow.
They will feel much less stressed if things are always following a specific routine.
Okay, you see, I'm still into dogs. And the more you're talking about this, I'm swaying that way again.
Obviously, the individual cat will be able to cope better or worse with certain situations. You know, that they vary individually. They have different personalities, such as we do. But as a general rule, they do not like change.
Interesting. Amal says, while away from my home, my cat got accidentally locked in a closet in the house. He was in there for a few hours. When we got home, we let him outside immediately and tried to give him some cold water. He was panting heavily for about 5 minutes, but calmed down once let outside. Should I take him to a vet for potential issues from overheating?
I would say that if the closet is situated inside the house, he most likely got overstressed rather than overheated. So I would just advise that you keep a close eye on him. Avoid taking him to the vet unless he's behaving abnormally, because that will just cause additional stress. He just probably panicked, and unless he's obviously showing obvious signs of lethargy, if he's having trouble breathing, if that panting persists specifically, then yes, I would say take him to the vet so we can investigate that further. But if not, just let him settle down. Give him a couple of days. I think he'll be completely back to normal in no time.
Yeah, I know how the cat feels. I got stuck in a lift and I was panicking and I had anxiety. And once I let out, literally, you can see yourself panting. I just needed a cup of tea, something just to calm me down. I didn't need to go and see the doctor. So I think you're right.
Yeah,
it is that
just
feeling.
Just leave him alone. Let him rest, because he just needs to calm down. If someone now shoves him in a box and drives him all the way to the vet where everyone's going to poke him, he's just going to think his life is over.
Oh. So Mo says, my 12-year-old cat has started wheezing. I'm a bit worried. Could he have allergies or asthma?
Yes, he could. That is a perfectly common condition in cats. Chronic bronchitis or asthma are things that cats can be diagnosed with as well. So if he's wheezing, if he's coughing, particularly if this is quite frequent, please get him checked. There are also other diseases, infectious diseases, that affect the lungs. He can have bronchopneumonia, even pneumonia. So yeah, definitely get that checked, because he will most likely require some additional treatment.
All right. Ricky says, my cat isn't eating as much as usual after I changed his cat food. How can I make him eat the new cat food?
The million-dollar question would be, how long ago have you switched the food? How have you done that switch? Again, we mentioned earlier, they do not like change. They're not good with that. Whatever food transition that you're trying to attempt should be done gradually by mixing increasing quantities of the new food with the food that he's actually used to, very gradually over the course of a few weeks. Sometimes cats actually need months. So the way to try and convince him to go for the new food is basically to try and mix it with the old one and very, very gradually increasing it to see if he just gets used to it over time, and not switching from one to the other abruptly, because he might just not recognize that flavor, that texture. He might just not like it. So yeah, cats require a bit of manipulation sometimes to make them accept change with minimal stress. And the food transition is actually definitely one of the things that you have to have into consideration. Also, if you do a very quick food change, sometimes that can cause stomach upset as well. So be mindful of that.
So Rohana says, my cat is about 13 years old and has been bulging around her chin for some time. This week I noticed it was red and irritated. It looked very irritated, and today it seems like there is dry blood on her chin. She looked uncomfortable, and while she let me pet her, she wouldn't let me touch her skin or her chin to clean it. We're in the process of moving. She's already stressed out, so I'm trying to avoid taking her physically to the vet. Do you have any home remedies or over-the-counter product recommendations? She said, I'd be really appreciative. She doesn't want to move the cat, obviously, because they get stressed.
Yeah, it does sound like she's quite sore, though. If she's not letting you touch her, it might be just because it's a sign of pain or extreme irritation if she's really, really itchy. So while you can clean at home with an antiseptic solution, I would definitely recommend that she is seen as soon as possible. Keep the area clean with an antiseptic solution, such as the one you would use for your own wounds. Mm-hmm. Clean it daily, at least, until you can see a vet to prevent a secondary infection from developing. But if you already are at the stage that she's actually traumatizing herself and drawing blood, that's probably telling you that it's time to go to the doctors because she's not really able to cope with that.
One more, we're running out of time. Thank you to Dina. She says, can I give my cat cheese, milk, crackers and cooked chicken as treats? We've tried all sorts of cat treats and she has no interest.
Oh my God.
She has no interest in any of them. And we've given her them before, but lots of websites say no. And my other cat steals bread. Is that okay for her to eat?
Oh my God.
Okay, I don't think this sounds good to Dr. Louisa right now.
No, it's fine. I'm not a prude, you know. We all have cats. We all know how picky they are. My cat actually liked, what's the name of that? Anyway, and once I remember, I will let you know the name in English. But anyway, I would stay away from anything that has lactose. So cheese is a definite no-no, and milk as well. They lack the enzyme that allows them to digest lactose, so that can potentially cause diarrhea and even vomiting. Cooked chicken, as long as it's unseasoned boiled chicken, no skin, no fat, no bones, yes, you can give it as a treat, of course, no problem at all.
Okay.
The same thing with cooked white fish, for example, that's also a suitable treat. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and do it. Bread, I wouldn't say, is the ideal thing to give to a cat because it pretty much has no nutritional value and it's pretty rich in carbohydrates, which they're actually not very good at digesting either. It's not harmful. Obviously, cookie dough or bread dough would be, but not bread itself. So if she likes it, go ahead. But cooked chicken sounds like the only sort of kind of healthy and natural option that you can give her without causing a lot of mayhem. Crackers? I just, honestly, chickpeas. This is what my cat used to eat.
Chickpeas?
So I once found him head deep in a bowl of chickpeas that I was going to cook a soup with or something. And I was just like, what?
Is that normal?
No, my cat was not normal. He also ate potato peels, you know.
I don't know anyone who does have a normal cat. This is quite worrying. But what I have noticed is that, Dr. Louisa, I think after talking to you today, cats are just as emotional and bizarre as us women.
Oh, they're very emotionally complex. Yes, they are. It's a world.
Well, we still have plenty of texts, but we'll have to get you in again. So thank you so much for coming on the show. You can tune in to Afternoons with Helen Farmer every weekday from 2 to 5 p.m.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.